303 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, about 10 degrees hotter than it was yesterday. Still not terrible, though. I got news for you. Relatively comfortable. I think it's because the humidity has remained relatively low. So, still a day to enjoy. And I know this will come as a shock to you. Not one, but two emerging crisis situations from the city of Richmond. Where would you like to start? All right. How about the latest cash grab? How about the latest building of a slush fund for city of Richmond officials? Yes. A nickel per shopping bag. Why? Why not? Because they have not yet quite figured out how to tax air. Once they figure out how to tax air, you make no mistake, they will do that. But in the meantime, they have said, we are going to force you to pay 5 cents for each and every plastic bag. They're not even claiming that this has anything to do with, well, anything. They just want the money. You have to actually give them that in a weird way. This whole thing started, gosh, got to be 20 years ago. City of San Francisco was the first one to come out with this nonsense. How do I know? I was there. Maybe 15 years ago. No, 20 years ago. Yeah, about 20 years ago. I was there. I was on the air in San Francisco. Yep, I was that guy. I was the conservative on the air in San Francisco. I could hold all the meetings of conservative broadcasters in my chair. And I remember when the San Francisco leadership, I said that without laughing. Oh, too late. I just laughed. The leaders in San Francisco, remember, San Francisco is a unified city and county. Has about 600,000, 700,000 people that live in the city. 7 miles by 7 miles. It is densely packed. Parts of it are beautiful. Parts of it now are almost navigable rivers of human feces. And they said, you know, we are really, really concerned about the environment. You are. Well, what on earth are we going to do about it? We want to get rid of plastic shopping bags. Why? Well, they clog stuff up and animals choke on them and well, who cares what you're saying, Mr. Katz? You're that conservative guy on the radio in San Francisco, and we don't care. No, okay. Well, thank you so much for at least being straightforward in that. So the Unified City and County San Francisco Board of Supervisors said, we are going to impose, guess what? A nickel tax on each and every shopping bag. Now, initially, it had started out higher. I think they wanted a quarter. And then they realized that might pose more difficulties for the idiots who were actually going to be stuck paying the bill. Now, I say idiots because those are suckers. Because they have chosen to live in the city of San Francisco and foist upon themselves every bat crap crazy idea because they themselves are bat crap crazy. So I just don't have any sympathy for them. And they made this argument that we needed to protect some sort of an animal somewhere in some river because if we didn't, then they would all die as a result of the plastic bag you got at the supermarket. Okay. So they did that. But they also said, you know what we're really trying to do? We're trying to get people to use, well, their own reusable bags. That way we won't need as many plastic bags and we won't have to charge as many people a tax on each and every shopping bag. Some of us are old enough to remember and some of us are not. How the plastic shopping bag became the go-to item in each and every supermarket. I am barely old enough to remember reusable bags. Not that my mom ever had them. And my mom was the one who did the marketing. That's what we called it when we were growing up. She's going to do the marketing Why? Because she was going to Pathmark, which is our local supermarket. And at Pathmark, when you shopped, some of the folks who were older, like, well, I've mentioned the Bargs who live next door to me, right? Mr. and Mrs. Barg. Mrs. Barg, when she went and did the marketing, she had some sort of a cloth bag that she seemed to like. And it was only the two of them, and they were elderly people. They didn't really eat all that much, I would imagine. And so she just had everything in that bag. She also had a little cart that she would wheel behind her when she walked up to the little markets that were a little bit closer to home. That's where she did most of her marketing, and every once in a while, my mom would give her a ride, because neither Mr. Barg nor Mrs. Barg actually drove, and take her to the big supermarket. So older people back in the 70s who had grown up, I suppose, well, the 40s, the 50s, many of them had fabric bags. Something very disturbing happened with a lot of those fabric bags. They were contaminated with all sorts of bacteria, and folks got sick. Because you couldn't really wash them, and nobody seemed to know that you needed to wash them. And then somebody came along and said, hey, we got to do something about these bags that people are carrying, because they're made out of fabric, and nobody's washing them, and people are getting sick. You know what we'll do? Paper shopping bags. Some point before I came along, they made the switch, for the most part, to paper shopping bags. And they're not the paper shopping bags most of us see and experience now that you can damn near see through. These were heavy paper. You didn't need to double bag because each bag could hold whatever you put in there, including things in cans. And you also used those bags to make book covers for your books in school. And they would last the entire school year. So we got the paper bags, and we got the paper bags because they were safer. They were better for the environment. That phrase has been around forever. Better for the planet. Okay. And they're easy to use, and they're easy to store. And you don't have to worry about them getting contaminated or causing anybody diseases or illness, because you use them. Okay. So we had paper bags for the longest time. And then, mid-70s into early 80s, I believe, is when it happened, if I remember correctly. There was this hue and cry. We were cutting down all the trees. Oh, my God. There's not going to be a tree left. And it's all because of the shopping bags. Oh, you people with your shopping bags. What is wrong with you people? We were cutting down all the trees. And then the paper bags are going in landfills. And then those stupid kids of yours are making book covers with them. Damn it. We got to do something about this. What are we going to do? Well, the chemical companies like, oh, I don't know, Dow Chemical in Delaware came along and said, you know, excuse us, we can make plastic bags. Plastic. Well, that was cutting edge. That was going to be great. It would be so much easier to have plastic bags. We wouldn't cut down another tree. All the trees would be happy and safe and sound, and, you know, they'd be able to retire to wherever trees retire to after they do whatever they do. They'd have happy lives, all of the little tree kids, you know, the saplings, the sapling family. And they'd be happy because we wouldn't be cutting down Ma and Pa tree to make bags. Okay. So all the trees were happy. You know who else was really happy? Again, Dow Chemical and a lot of the big petroleum operations. Because you know how you make plastic, kids? I bet you that goofy anti-science guy 9 never mentioned this, right? You know how you make plastic? You need petroleum. You need a chemical or two. You need somebody in a white lab coat at some point, and then you make them. So we all changed to plastic bags. And by the way, they're not the cheap cheese, are they? Weren't the cheap, cheesy plastic bags that you get now, which, again, you can damn near see through. These were heavy-duty plastic bags. Now we're back on this kick of, well, you know, plastic is, it's bad for something. Well, what is it bad? I don't know, but we gotta change again. How are we going to change? Well, we don't really have to change. We just want you to give us money for having a plastic bag. Well, at least be honest about it. You're not trying to do away with plastic bags because you're worried about litter in the city of Richmond. You're not really against plastic bags at all. In fact, the very people who are in favor of this in the city of Richmond hope that as many people as humanly possible buy those plastic bags. See, if you were really concerned about plastic bags and their after effects, then what you would say is we're imposing a 5-cent deposit on each and every plastic bag. And when you bring your plastic bags back, you will get your nickel back. That absolutely might encourage someone not to throw them away. But what you are doing is stepping in and saying, give us a nickel for each one of these bags. And the city of Richmond has already announced they expect to generate $400,000 as a result of this. Now, I did the math, which means it could very well be wrong. I'm not a math guy, as you know, but I did plug some numbers in. And for them to get to their $400,000 number, I believe they have to have 10 million plastic bags that are purchased in the city of Richmond in a year. That sounds like a lot to me, but I'm not a plastic bag expert in this regard. Maybe it is a lot, maybe it's not. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, follow the bouncing bag. This has nothing to do with cleaning up litter. It has nothing to do with the environment. It has to do with creating another, in this case, $400,000 slush fund that the mayor and the members of city council and all of the other corrupt pseudo leaders at Richmond City Hall can dip into anytime they want. It is absolutely, positively insulting and absurd. But as Ron Popeil used to say, just wait, there's more. I got another piece of information coming from the city of Richmond. We'll do that in just a moment. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Great stuff that we are diving into. I'll tell you, we'll be chatting just a little bit about the Dancing with the Local Stars event coming up with my friends of the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. We'll do that at 3:35. Looking forward to that. Let me check out the James River Air text line for you, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. John says, hey, Jeff, you know, these are the same idiots taxing the bags today that actually wanted the plastic bags because they were all about saving the trees. That's true. That's absolutely true. Joe checking in from Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Jeff, do you have an appliance store that you recommend? You know, I don't, and we need some appliances. I know there's some good appliance stores in the area, but no, I don't have anyone in particular, Joe, that I happen to recommend. We haven't really dealt with them. Although we do, I'll let the cat out of the bag. We are very much talking about doing an update in the kitchen. So we'll be looking for some new appliances. If, in fact, there is a good quality appliance store out there that wants to talk to me, well, I want to talk to you. And when that happens, Joe, I'll let you know. Mark from Bon Air says, Jeff, you're probably old enough to remember, as I am, the old phrase from Georgia Pacific, trees, America's renewable resource. Yeah. Yep. What happened to that? 804. Oh, my gosh, Jeff, I cannot believe you started your segment with that. That is just absolutely 100% true. It depends on the day of the week or the month of the year, whether plastic bags or paper bags are the culprit for destroying the world this week. I guess it's plastic. Well, remember when we also had to change from glass bottles to plastic? Oh, I'll get into that in a little bit as well. Someone else says, Jeff, if they're really concerned about the plastic bags, they would mandate paper bags. At least they will decompose. Here's 540 says, Jeff, the paper bags, if you recall, are recycled. They're made into new bags. Glass bottles, recycled, reused. No harm to the environment or people. Yep. 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 Let me see. 804, Jeff, you know, there just aren't enough grocery stores in the city of Richmond, so folks take the free buses to the counties to get groceries. Another bright idea from these nimrods that is Steve the Painter. Yep. And from RBA says, Jeff, like the fabric bags you mentioned, reusable bags hold on to germs, food spills, etc., and it will not eliminate trash. Future leftists right now are planning this, Jeff. We're not making enough revenue from taxing paper bags or plastic bags. We'll just tax any bag that you use. Sure. Yeah. Yep. Bring your own bags. Go ahead. Bring your own bags. I don't care. I've seen this game before. I think it's insane. I think it's absolutely, positively insane. It is a money grab. Nothing more, nothing less. And if you really think that the leadership, put that in quotes, the leadership down there at Richmond City Hall needs another nickel from you to continue doing the fine work that they have been doing thus far, you're as crazy as they are. I mean, really. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe you are as crazy as they are. Had another inmate death at the Richmond City Jail. We're going to talk about that. Dr. Antoinette Irving, the worst sheriff in America. The worst sheriff in America. Jeff, why don't you include the rest of the world? Well, even though there are sheriffs in some other parts of the world, for the most part, their functions are so different that, well, all right, what the heck? I've got two options here. I can actually, because I am an absolute wealth of useless, trivial knowledge, I can explain the function of the sheriff's office in Canada and in Australia. Yeah, they got some floating around in England still, too. But you don't want that. No, you really don't. I'll just give her the title. Okay, the worst sheriff in the world. You feel better now? Okay, you got it without any background information. But I would side with that. She is the worst sheriff in the world. Another inmate death at the Richmond City Jail. Why? Because she doesn't know a damn thing about being sheriff. And for the last 8 years, she has proven that day in and day out. The press release from the sheriff's office read, and I quote, all protocols of the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. Well, we could stop right there because there haven't been protocols for the Richmond City Sheriff's Office since C.T. Woody was sheriff of the city of Richmond. She should be taken out of office. There should be someone else who comes along and says her jail is not safe for anyone and she needs to be removed. But there is an election. Early voting in the city of Richmond, voting day, June the 17th. And if you vote for her, then, well, I don't know what to tell you. It will be the death of the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. 327, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Little warmer than it was yesterday by, well, you know, about 10 degrees. It's still not bad, though. The humidity is relatively low, which is good. William Burnett's going to be with us at 5:05. I reached out to William. William, as you know, was the lieutenant colonel at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office when Sheriff C.T. Woody was there. He's actually now seeking the office of sheriff himself. He's a retired sergeant out of the Richmond Police Department. I think he's a really good guy. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think he is the only guy who is going to be able to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. It's just an absolute disaster. And we just had another inmate death there. And it's just sad to see. It's difficult, if not impossible, for the staff, which is just, well, they're just totally understaffed at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. and certainly for the inmates. And somebody's got to care. Somebody has to care. So we've got William, who will join us at 5:05. Get his sense of this. Another inmate death at the Richmond City Justice Center. I mentioned that my friends over there at the Virginia Down Syndrome Association are doing their Dancing with the Local Stars again. I'm hoping that Rebecca Moss is joining us. Rebecca, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing okay. Tell me about this year's iteration of Dancing with the Local Stars. I remember the first time. My buddy Matt DiNardo from 8 News was over there, did a great job. And then last year, John Burkett, God bless him, he really kicked himself into shape for his little performance. But this year, who we got and what are they doing?
So this year, so the event, this is our third annual, as you mentioned. The event features pairs five individuals with Down syndrome with five local stars, so to speak. And so this year from CBS6, we have Antoinette Essa. Mm-hmm. She does the A-list. We have Cliff Twiggs, who is a board member with BDSA and also the director of operations at Topgolf.
Okay.
We have Adriana Duarte, who is the host of the Total Latino show. She's also a realtor with Core Mortgage.
Okay.
And we've got Tim Gabbard of Summit Media.
Okay.
And lastly, Angela Royston, who's with Virginia Credit Union.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this, because it's a wonderful event. It really is. I've been to them, and I've been thrilled to be there. But explain to everybody what goes into it, because, man, there is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. It's my head spinning a little bit right now. we're less than a week away. We're just a little over a week away, I should say. And so there's quite a bit that goes into it, but from the dancer side, we partner with a studio called Miracles in Motion Studio.
Yep.
And Miracles in Motion, the founder, you know, Kim Moncrief, her son Logan has Down syndrome, and she was a dancer. Mm-hmm. And once she received Logan's diagnosis and after he's born, she decided to go ahead and create a studio dedicated to individuals with intellectual disabilities. And so along came Miracles in Motion. These self-advocate dancers, they know their routines. And essentially, the local stars come in and they are teaching the stars the routine. And so it's pretty intensive. It's at least once a week for about an hour of practice for 6 weeks. And we're getting close.
I have to let everybody know that the production value on this stuff is really stellar. Now, you know that, Rebecca. You've been there. But I want everybody to know that this is nobody's cutting any corners. I mean, you guys just really do it upright.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Kim is a lot behind that, the founder of Miracles in Motion. She's not going to let anybody rest till this is over.
You do know that after Burkett did it last year, you know he went home and he napped for 6 days straight?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Now, 4 of those days he was wrestling trying to get that form-fitting shirt off. But the other two, I swear to you, he was actually napping. And, So he did
it's
a great job.
In many ways.
Yes. What do we do to help? I'd love for people to go. You said it's only a week out, though. Are there any tickets left?
We still have tickets. Tickets are still available for sale. You can go to virginiadsa.org/gala.
Okay.
To purchase your tickets. They are available only through midnight tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Because, again, week out, we have to give our head count to the Altria Theater. So the event is June 12th at Altria Theater from 5:30 to 10. It features a cocktail hour and silent auction. We do roll out the red carpet for attendees.
Yeah.
And then a three-course dinner and a show and dance party at the end.
Wow. Yeah, it is a full evening. And again, it's at the Altria Theater. It is all done up right. When you talk about that red carpet, if I remember last year, you literally had a red carpet, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Altria, yeah. Yep, they roll out the red carpet, quite literally. And then we'll have the step and repeat where you can take pictures on the red carpet. And we will this year, thanks to PixRS, is a, they're a photo booth company. They're sponsoring. We will have a one of the 360 photo booths, so that should be fun, too.
Wow. Wow. What do people get? For those who are participating, let's talk about some of these great dancers. Obviously, you've got great dancers, and then you've got the local stars who are doing their best to keep up with the great dancers. But prizes, titles, trophies, what are people walking away with?
So there's Judges' Choice Award, and then there's the Mirrorball Trophy. And the Mirrorball Trophy comes from the... So I should back up. Each dancing pair works to raise money. Because this is essentially, this is a big fundraiser. We're a small nonprofit, and every dollar counts. And so in order to raise money, you vote. This is just like the Dancing with the Stars. You vote, and every dollar equals a vote. So the pair that receives the Mirrorball Trophy, that's because they've raised the most money.
Okay.
That can also be found through this virginiadsa.org/gala. You can vote.
Yep.
That's one way you can help.
Okay.
The other is the judge's choice. So we have a panel of judges. Some are former dancers from last year. It's a combination of self-advocates and family members. We have six judges.
Okay.
And so the second trophy goes to the judge's choice.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you give everybody the website one more time, please, because I want people
sure.
to go and really not just support the Virginia Down Syndrome Association, which is vitally important, but also have a great time. There's the cocktail hour. There's dinner. There's unbelievable fun. And it's such a warm environment. It's just great. It's going to make you feel good at the end. As you know, Rebecca, at the end of all of this, you'll walk out of there saying, man, I didn't dance at all, and I still feel great. Although there is that little chance to dance at the end. So how
at
do
the
how
end,
do,
the dance, right?
Yeah, the very
yeah.
end. That's right.
Yeah. yeah.
How do people get those tickets then?
To get the tickets, it's virginiadsa.org/gala. So it's Virginia D as in down, S as in syndrome, AsInAssociation.org/gala.
Okay.
If you can't make it this year, there's of course ways to donate. You can donate by voting for a dancer. Again, every dollar equals a vote.
Okay.
You can also participate in our 50-50 raffle, as well as our silent auction will become live, and we have tons of great items, and that will become live on Friday, this coming Friday the 6th.
Okay. Well, I will make a point, Rebecca, to remind everybody about the silent auction, because there are some great prizes there. And I remember, again, last year, that 50-50, and it just, wow. Everybody, whether you're dancing or not, you're going to have a great time, and you get the chance to help out, and you really do have a warm feeling at the end of it. Rebecca, I appreciate you being here. Tell Mike that I said hi over there, the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. We want it to be an absolute sellout. That is Rebecca Moss. She's with the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. They're doing their third annual Dancing with the Local Stars. So I think it's going to be another exciting event. Listen, between us, I was invited to participate this year. But there's just no way. Believe me, I wasn't a good dancer before I got injured. And now, I mean, I could sit there, I guess, and go, yay, great dancing. But no. They got some really solid people for this. But make no mistake, I'm still going to vote. Remember, each vote equals a dollar for the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. So please step up and help them out, would you please? It is 3:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:49, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. I hate to break it to you, the humidity is dialing up a little bit. Yeah, just a tiny little bit. Yep. But it's not terrible. It will be okay, I promise you. We'll all make our way through it and deal with it. But this is kind of what it's going to be for the rest of the week, right through the weekend. A little bizarre, huh? Coming up at 5:05, William Burnett is going to be with us. We have sadly had yet another inmate death at the Richmond City Jail. It is a bizarre situation for a lot of people, because there are a lot of people who say, Jeff, why do I care that an inmate died? Right? Why do I care? I'm not there. I don't have any family members there. I mean, it's a jail, for God's sakes. Who cares? I care. just because I realize and I appreciate the fact that people who are in jail or in prison or whatever, they're still human beings. Now, you may not like them. I get that. Hey, you did something terrible. I'm not taking that away from them. Believe me. But I am saying that your duty as their custodian, because that's what you are legally their custodian. You have to do everything possible for them to be safe and secure. You can hate them every day if you want. I don't care. And there are people in our community who I know feel that way. Freaking inmates, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. But it is the obligation of that custodial facility to look out for the health, the welfare, the safety of inmates. That's part of your charge. Has it occurred to anybody that we have all of these deaths inside the Richmond City Jail, and we don't hear about deaths inside the Henrico County Jail? And remember, Henrico County's got two of them. We got East and West. You don't hear reports about that. You don't hear reports like this coming from Pamunkey Regional Jail. You don't hear information like this coming from the Chesterfield County Jail. Why is that? Do you want to know the answer? Because I'm going to tell you the answer. Actually, I'm going to tell you the answer whether you want to know it or not. The difference is that those other facilities have far better management. Far better management. They have true leadership. The Richmond City Sheriff's Office does not. The Richmond City Sheriff's Office, unfortunately, has a poser, somebody who likes to play at being sheriff, who has decided that she can wear a cool-looking uniform and use taxpayer money for all sorts of cool things. She also clearly doesn't care about her staff, such as it is, because there's not a lot of staff left. She cares about the handful of people at the top, but she doesn't care about those deputies who actually have to go into the city jail and work. That's pretty clear. She sure as hell has no respect whatsoever for the taxpayers in the city of Richmond. If she did, she wouldn't be squandering your money in the way that she is squandering your money. If she really cared about Richmond City taxpayers, she would make sure that she was utilizing your tax money responsibly. Well, that's not happening. Overtime, which is always an issue when it comes to certain law enforcement functions, is out of control with her at the helm. Staffing is out of control with her at the helm. The last inmate to die at the Richmond City Jail was Demario White. Don't know what Demario White's charges were, but I do know that he's dead. The sheriff reported a medical emergency. That's what they told the family. Well, the medical examiner's office determined that Demario White's death was actually a cause of fentanyl and xylazine toxicity. He died from illegal drugs. This is an epidemic at the Richmond City Jail. It is not an epidemic in other jails. Why? Because other jails have better management. They have appropriate staffing. They have training and standards. Everything I just mentioned is lacking at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. It is sad. There are quite literally human beings dying as a result of the current sheriff's inability to do the job. I sit here and I'm thinking, well, I don't live in the city of Richmond. I would like to think I'm not going to be confined to the Richmond City Jail at any point. I'd like to think that friends and family are not going to be confined to the Richmond City Jail. But I still care. I've been told by many that certain agencies will not even take arrested people to the Richmond City Jail. They will find someplace else to lodge them because they are fearful of what could happen at the city jail. There also seems to be some sort of a war is an ugly word. I'm not going to describe it that way, but there does seem to be a real animosity between the sheriff and some parts of the Richmond Police Department. I heard a horror story about one Richmond police official who was fundamentally, treated like crap at the city jail. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know if they want details out there, so I'm not going to offer details except to say it was thoroughly inappropriate and unprofessional. I believe that the one opportunity to save that office, the Richmond City Sheriff's Office, is this election. There are no Republicans running. I should point that out for the rich. Jeff, you're only in favor of Republicans. No, I got news for you. City of Richmond is filled with Democrats who are running for certain offices. I don't live in the city, but if I did, I would be voting for William Burnett. I do believe to my core he is the one guy capable of saving that agency, saving the officers, saving the inmates. And he'll be with us at 5:05. 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.